Hi, everybody, and welcome inside a new episode of the Steve Peichel podcast. A lot has happened since the last taping, like a four-game winning streak as RU returned to action. They beat Maine, Central Connecticut State, Michigan, and Nebraska. They fell to Penn State a couple of nights ago. Currently 9-6, 3-2 in the Big Ten, trip to Maryland next. And so with that, we say hello to the head coach of the Scarlet Knights, Steve Peichel. Coach, how are you?
Jerry, I'm great. It's good to be back on and look forward to the podcast today.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, a lot of questions, I guess, to start, because there's a lot of good to get to. You know, those four wins we talked about, specifically you beat Michigan and then you beat Nebraska back to back. Nebraska, you clobbered. We'll get to those games in a moment. But first, let's just talk a little bit about Penn State, because I know I could tell in your voice, obviously disappointed with the way that game went the other night in Happy Valley. It's interesting. And you and I discussed this a lot over the last 6 years. I know the energy wasn't where you wanted it to be for sure, but it's interesting how those first 5 minutes, I thought, dictated a lot. I know you had 1-11-2 run, but guys just missed shots to get that game going. When you see something like that in a game start in that way, is it something like you just want to let it play out and see if someone can find some rhythm? Or, you know, how do you attack games like that? Because it's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough, first of all, when, you know, get on the road. And we have been playing at like a high level. You know, just got started and even watching the tape afterwards, like with some real makeable shots, and kind of reverted back to who we were earlier in the season, which was when shots are going in, then we're playing better on both ends of the floor. Like, and I've tried to really change that, you know, trait of this team. You know, like, it doesn't matter if shots are going in, great, but your defense dictates if you're going to win the game or not. Your offense dictates by how much. That's really what your offense does. And you know, we've been playing really good on the offensive end, you know, in this particular game, the ball didn't go in. You know, you try to change up your matchups, but we kind of hung around, you know, so we were in this game, you know, really with, you know, 11 minutes left too. We cut this thing to 3-4 points, you know, so we kind of hung around, just got to play better on the road. And rebounding was a key to the basketball game. We didn't rebound the way we have been rebounding it. But I think a lot of that has to do too with the ball not going in. Try to get that personality trait to change on our team. Like, let's play no matter what. Doesn't matter. The ball goes in, that's the bonus.
Yeah, that game was, the final score was not indicative of that game. That game was played between 5 and 8 almost the entire way. And it seemed like every time, and it was like 3 or 4 times, you got it to 4 or 5 and you never got that stop. And the one time you did, and I'm not putting blame on him, but the one time you did get the stop, I think Oscar got fouled, went to timeout, came back. He missed the 2 free throws. They hit a 3. And it's amazing how the game just switches with a miss and a make. And I thought that game in particular, when you say, you know, watching the film, is it that noticeable what you see on the defensive end in a game like that?
Yeah. I mean, no, there's a lot of things you see, you know, during the course of the game, and you know, a big part of it too is when you're not making jump shots, what adjustments are you going to make to get to the rim, to get to the free throw line, you know, that kind of thing. Because there are going to be those nights where the ball doesn't go in. And we kept preaching that during the timeouts. And, you know, you got to get to the basket, get downhill, force the referees to call charges or blocks, you know, for that matter. And, you know, we just kind of never got it going. But again, you know, Penn State played really well, you know, and no one ever gives the other team credit. Like, they played good basketball. They made plays down the stretch. We have been doing a really good job of shutting down the 2 leading scorers on the other team almost every night. We didn't do this. Pickett got his numbers and Sessoms, you know, got his numbers, and he's a dangerous guy. And those were 2 of our keys during the course of it. But certainly when your offense and the ball's not going in, you got to figure out other ways. And our defense wasn't up to that challenge. And that includes the backboards too, which was a big part of what we needed to do. And I think it would have helped us a great deal if we rebounded at an elite level.
One thing, and I guess this is more of a philosophical question about college basketball, really the NBA too at this point. So in the Penn State game, you guys were 5 of 19 from 3. In Nebraska and Michigan, you shot it well. Is that where we're at pretty much in kind of, I'm taking the defense and all that stuff out of it. I'm talking offensively. When the 3 goes down, is it just the way the game is now that if you can shoot it, you're going to win? I mean, 'cause that's what it seems like watching at every level, even the high school level, it seems like that.
It makes a big difference, you know, in games, and obviously helps you a ton. And then the free throw line would be next. So, you know, if you're making 3s, you don't need the free throw line. If you're not making 3s, you better get the free throw line too. So you got to win 1 or 2 of those battles. And we had been shooting the ball at the highest level. We were number one in the league in 3-point percentage in league play. So, you know, we didn't share the game the way that I would like. And most importantly, in the Penn State game, it's a 7-turnover kind of game. And we had 15 turnovers, and we haven't played that way. And the types of turnovers we got to led to baskets. So, you know, there's, you know, turnovers are never good, but dead ball turnovers help your defense. You know, live ball turnovers create points for the other team. So there's different ways of turning the basketball over that can really put your defense in tough spots. So turning the ball over was a huge key in the game too. And we haven't done that, and they don't create a lot of turnovers.
Yeah. And one thing about that team, and this is going back to something you said prior to this that just popped into my head, you know, that team, and we shouldn't discuss it, but you know, you see in all the previews, that team was favored to win, and that team had really good wins on their credit. And you're right, you don't give the other team credit, but my goodness, that is a good team. They're going to have a lot of big wins this season, for sure.
And you know what? I think the third or fourth oldest team in America. Yeah. So they got experience. They got a lot of talented guys, and you know, they got great size. John Hara in the post has been a problem for us since day one. Pickett was a 3-time player of the year in the conference that he left. And obviously Lundy's talented. Dredd has been around forever. You know, they have a lot of experienced players. And when you go on the road to a place like that, you're going to have to play well. And everyone, you could break down the films and go through that, but you know, you got to have to play really good basketball on the road in this league. And we just didn't play that way. And hopefully we can learn from that, go down to Maryland and play a lot better.
New edition of the Steve Peichel podcast. Rutgers hits the road for Maryland now this weekend. We'll get to that in just a moment. One other thing on the road stuff. Has there been one common theme that you've seen on the road? Because I don't. I mean, we've talked about it before. I thought you played a really good game at UMass and just lost because they made threes, you made twos, and it is what it is. I thought you played a really good game at DePaul, but came up just short, and they've proven to be a pretty good team. And another team that's very old. And by the way, to your point, Penn State, I think the fifth oldest team in the country at almost 22 years old across the board. Has there been one thing that you've seen though, that you can kind of put your finger on?
I mean, we have to get off to better starts. You know, I think that's really important. You know, the Illinois game obviously didn't get off to a good start, and Seton Hall, I didn't think we got off to a good start in that game. You know, and obviously Penn State. So you got to start better. We kind of got back into all the, you know, those games set for Illinois. We kind of got back, but you don't want to spot teams on the road. You got to come out and the free throw line in all those games. You got to get to the free throw line more. You know, when you're on the road, you know, it just helps you so much, helps your defense. It helps, you know, getting into teams' benches, having them play some bench players, you know, the free throw line. So we got to do a better job, you know, on the road. And, you know, again, we play in the toughest league in the country too. So road games are hard to come by, and we got to figure out a way to get some.
Good place to stop, because I want to get to that next, something I saw on Big Ten Network earlier today. It's the Steve Peichel podcast. Quick break. When we come back, more about life on the road. We'll get to the Nebraska win, the Michigan win as well. And then we'll start talking about Maryland also. It's the Peichel podcast on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. Great to have you with us as we continue on the Peichel podcast as Rutgers hits the road for Maryland this Saturday, then a home game against Iowa. Late start at Jersey Mike's Arena. So if you're coming, make sure you realize that's an 8:30 start. Before the break, we were talking about how difficult it is to win games on the road. And I was watching Big Ten Network earlier today, and I don't know who the analyst was, but he was with Dave Revson, and he was talking about the Maryland-Northwestern game last night that took place. And Maryland almost blew the game. They wound up winning in double overtime. And he was harping on the Big Ten is just another beast when it comes to road venues, road atmospheres, and just how difficult it is to win. You've coached a long time. Why is it so difficult? And what do you see out of these different arenas? I know Saturday is going to be tough because that place can be, just like Illinois, they can be vulgar with the way they're yelling and screaming.
I mean, really, you know, I think more than anything, you know, these programs have such long traditions and proud followings. You know, the students really get involved. Very different than other teams I see on television. I mean, and this is a passionate fan base at all these places. I mean, they mark these games on their calendar and they get there early, and they're loud and involved. So hard menus, you know, venues to play at. But I think the hardest part of our league, and people don't quite understand this too, and especially some, you know, emails I get, like, our league is just such a unique brand of styles and teams and venues, you know, all of that, and really great coaches goes into making it a difficult place. And, you know, I told you at one point in time, we played, you know, Nebraska. Nebraska plays the seventh fastest pace in the country. And then 2 days later, two practices later, we played the third slowest pace in the country on Penn State. And people that, oh, we're just playing Penn State. No, no, no. It's a whole different game plan. It's a whole different set, you know, for your players, you know, to understand the pace. There's going to be less possessions. So Nebraska, you could turn the ball over some more times because there's going to be more possessions to make up for those turnovers. You know, Penn State, we turn the ball over 15 times. That's a 7 turnover game. That's 8 less possessions that you're going to get because you're only going to have 60 possessions in the game. You know, like it's, you went from a young team to playing the oldest team, you know, probably in the league or one of the oldest in the country. Seton Hall was old and, you know, these guys are real old. Well, what comes with old is strength and comes with old is experience and, you know, guys that have been around for a while. So, you know, the different challenges is hard enough. Then when you go the different styles that every single team plays, and then you give it 1 or 2 days to prepare for those games, you know, your team has to soak in a whole new game plan, get on the road, understand whatever I told you for the Nebraska game, you could throw that out the window. This team plays different defense. They have different screen coverages. The coaches call different timeouts at different times, you know, and then you factor in the referees and how they're blowing the whistle. They might have blown the whistle tight against Nebraska, and then you go to Penn State and no one's blowing the whistle, you know. So there's all kinds of things that factor into, you know, these basketball games. But they're tough venues, and they're tough because the coaches are good, but the players are good. You know, we're going to have Iowa coming in here in a couple of days. I mean, Bohannon's, I don't know how many, he's played the most games maybe of any college basketball player in the history of college.
I think he's 35 years old now.
Yeah, you know, so like you're going to play them, and they're going to play us all zone. You know, a totally different, Penn State didn't play one section of zone, you know, so just get different challenges every night. And that's what makes this league great though. And real, really pure basketball fans understand that the trouble that all the different teams come in, bring, you know, to you on so many different levels. That's the exciting part of it, you know, and that's what makes this exciting every day. It's a different team. It's a different Hall of Fame coaches, players that have been around for 10 years, it seems like, you know, different styles, you know, and you got a couple of days to prepare for them.
Yeah. And Micah Shrewsbury from Purdue through the Boston Celtics. And then he ends up at Penn State. Two things on what you just said about that game the other night. I believe there were two separate 5-minute stretches without a foul, which to me is mind blowing because then there are games you breathe on a guy and they're calling fouls. I don't understand how there's so much inconsistency. You got to pull your hair out of your head. That was one. The other one was, I think there was about 5 minutes to go in the game. I think you were down 8, which is not insurmountable ever. And I said to Austin on the broadcast, I said, with the way Penn State plays, I'm concerned they're not going to have the ball enough to catch up. It's got to be incredibly frustrating watching that style, even though you know what you're into and what the game's going to be, and yet just seeing it unfold. It's a weird way to play the game, too.
I mean, it really is. And that's why there's so many variables in every game. And, you know, sometimes they let the post players play. Other times they blow the whistle the minute a guy makes any contact. Sometimes they let the guards, you know, guard people and get up on them. Next time, you know, he's chucking the cutter or he's, you know, impeding progress on a cut to the basket, you know, like, so you got to figure that out too every night. And, you know, on the road, it's always different. You know, so There's a lot that goes into it. I know people think, you know, you just roll it out there. But as you know, we're getting ready to play Maryland. And we've watched every single tape, including last year's tape. Even though Coach Turgeon isn't the coach anymore, you know, like a lot goes into it. We talk about those kind of things. We talk about how the game possibly could be reffed. We talk about how they're going to play us defensively. You know, every team is different. Are they going to double in the post? Are they going to front in the post? Are they going to side front? Is the referee going to blow the whistle if it gets too physical? Do you get 2 dribbles on a back down or do you get 1 dribble? I mean, there's a lot of stuff, how they guard the out of bounds under plays, you know, the things we have to be ready for. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, and you hope to give your team a great chance you know, to win the basketball game. But sometimes, Jerry, it's just as easy. If the ball's going in, you know, it helps a ton. And if it's not, you still got to figure out a way to win the game. And that's where your all your scouting and all your work hopefully pays off.
All right, we'll take a quick break when we come back. More on Maryland. One thing on Nebraska as well, as Rutgers gets set to hit the road for Maryland on Saturday. Quick break. Peikel Podcast continues in a moment on the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. We continue on the Peikel Podcast. Rutgers getting set to take on the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday. That'll be on the road on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. Before we get into Maryland, just something also, you talk about the ball going in. So the Nebraska game, the Michigan game was a tremendous victory. I thought it was one that all of a sudden turns things around and you got things going in the right direction yet again. And then you back it up with a game and a win over Nebraska. The place was going nuts. You put up 93 points. As frustrating as it must have been watching the Penn State game and the way that game develops, how much fun is it when you're putting up points at the rate you are putting them up and everything seems to be working and your big players are playing big and you're getting contributions from everywhere else, as we've talked about, Andre and of course Dean playing big parts also?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have games like that, you know, throughout the season. That's very dangerous, you know, Nebraska team with tremendous talent, and the way they play and the pace and the amount of threes that they shoot up, they're always kind of in games, and they're never a team that you can easily put away. But I thought it was fun. I mean, I think in our four-game winning streak, we were, you know, averaging 23 and a half, almost, you know, assists per game. When we're playing that way and the ball's moving and, you know, we have a lot of players that could shoot, pass, and dribble, and when we're utilizing all their strengths, you know, it's fun. It's fun. Our defense was elite that night, too. You know, I thought we did a great job of keeping Verb, who's a really good point guard, under control, keeping him out of the lane. And I thought we did a good job on McGowan's too, who's very talented and a guy that takes a lot of shots and is going to score points. But sometimes it's how you score those points that, you know, he had to really work for him. And, you know, but when you're throwing the ball and you're moving it like that, and obviously Gio and Ron and Paul was excellent. I mean, Paul really on all ends. And then Caleb was doing his thing. And you know, Cliff's become our most consistent guy too. He, you know, every night pretty much you could kind of put it in the bank, 10 and 10, you know, and Cliff has been really, really good in those areas. But then your bench guys come off and do just a, you know, tremendous job. So everyone really chipped in that day. It was exciting. But, you know, Jersey Mike's was jumping too. That helps us so much. I mean, I can only thank those people enough. Like that makes the biggest difference. And that helps our guys as much as anything.
Yeah, and we see it too, because we're in the crowd where we broadcast from, Austin and I. And I mean, they are so fired up when they're leaving that place with a victory. I got to tell you, it is. And I know you get to go clap the hands of the students and everything. It is awesome. All right. So you got Maryland now. You finished these back to back, although it is five of seven on the road. If you include Penn State, so four of the next six on the road. This is another team, though, where one of their big scorers and starters is another kid that's a transfer. What's this kid's name? Fats Russell, a transfer from Rhode Island. Double-digit score. So it's a different look from a Maryland team. And when you talk about all the different styles, now you add the transfer portal. You're seeing, you mentioned the kid Verge the other day, had a big career high. The kid the other night, Pickett at Penn State. How much different do these teams look? How much different does Maryland look when you look at them this year as opposed to last year?
I mean, yeah, it's very different. And I mean, I think the portal is going to be like that, you know, for the near future anyways. You know, they have a lot of transfers. Obviously, Fats Russell being a guy has the ball in his hands all the time. He's quick, is quick and fast, like Jacob Young kind of. Speed and quickness, can really make plays around the basket. And then they, you know, combo him with Eric Ayala, who's been a really good guard in our league for a long time. And then, you know, they have a center who transferred from Georgetown, who's a real good big guy that put up huge numbers at Georgetown. And then they got a bunch of other, you know, guys coming off the bench. So some of them we'll see for the first time. It's up on film, but I'll see live for the first time. But they're really talented, as every Maryland team is. And, you know, they're well coached, obviously tough venue to go play at, but they are downhill scorers. They are guys that can really attack the rim. They make plays at the basket as well as any team in the country. So they change things a great deal for us and how we got to guard people. And we got to stay out of foul trouble because they attack you to get you to foul.
I know it's an obvious question, but I'll ask it anyway, because you even kind of alluded to getting off to better starts earlier. What does it do for the team? Not that everybody's putting the ball in the net, but when you see that at least one guy has it going early on, that you figure you got a go-to guy to kind of get the game rolling, what does it do for the other, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys that are going to play in terms of confidence and energy level too, which can be almost as important?
Well, I think that's as important as anything. You know, when the ball goes in, the energy is great, you know, and the energy with our bench is great, and the energy in our crowd is great, you know, and guys feed off energy. I mean, they're young, you know, they're young, and those things matter. And it matters in all sports too, as you see it all across the country, you know, energy is a big part of it. And, you know, when you go on the road, you got to first and foremost compete. Secondly, you got to bring great energy. Like, you have to win games by 10 to win by 1, you know, that's just the way it is. And that's the advantage you get, you know, when you're a home team. So when you're on the road, you get that disadvantage. And when the ball goes in, obviously, you know, these guys feel good. Everyone writes about the ball going in. Everyone writes about the leading scorer. Very rarely do they write about the defensive stops. Very rarely do they write about the great defensive plays. Everything, you know, is based on points. So, you know, the most attention goes to those guys.
Yeah.
And it's never, you know, I always say this, that, you know, the cuts in the game, the post defense, the dives for loose balls, they never get written about. That's why you win basketball games. You know, the ball goes in, that's the bonus that you get on the other side. But there's so many other plays that go into and factor into teams winning. But the energy that the ball going in creates for your team and for you know, your players is amazing.
All right, here's the question for you going into the break, and then I'll get your answer on the other side. When you played, more satisfying, more fun, to win in front of a packed house at home or to shut the raucous crowd up on the road? That question will be answered next when the Steve Peichel podcast resumes. Welcome back inside the Steve Peichel podcast along the RWJ Barnabas Health Rutgers Sports Network. Rutgers heads to the Xfinity Center on Saturday to Maryland. Before the break, Coach, I asked you about more fun, more energy, more enthusiasm, whatever the word is, to win in front of the home crowd or to win on the road, tough environment, raucous crowd, and to just silence them and come away with a win. You've had a lot of them in your career. What do you like better? And you can't say both.
I tell you what, I mean, when you go on the road and you win a road game, there's no better feeling. There's no better trip. There's no better getting on the bus, getting on a plane. There's no better than silencing a hostile crowd, that chant stuff and steals your clipboard and, you know, does all the things that the student sections do here in our league. And you also understand how tough it is to accomplish that. So you got to play as well as you could possibly play. But there's no better feeling than going on the road and winning a big road game. I love winning, period.
Yep.
I'll take a win anywhere, but you know, to do that, you really have to, special efforts, special nights by people. You know, we went to Iowa a few years ago, Ron had his career night, you know, just think about the road games that we were able to, you know, go to Purdue and win on senior night, and Geo Baker made unbelievable shots down the stretch, and Jacob Young had to dunk on a 7'3" guy, you know, and, you know, just the different things that go into winning a basketball, you know, game on the road. And like you said, no better feeling than quieting, you know, all the hostile fans.
You know, what's fun about it too, outside looking in, and sometimes I'm courtside with you guys, sometimes I'm not, but the kids are always shooting into the student section in the second half. And so when plays like Jacob Young at Purdue happen, or Ron's going crazy at Iowa, it has just got to be, for a player, I've got to think it's got to be the most amazing feeling of satisfaction and jubilation to do that. Winning at home is, I mean, it's second to none. I'm joking when I say you can't pick both, but man, there's, and then to get on the bus and the plane, knowing what you just accomplished. And it's a shame the Minnesota game, there wasn't a crowd there last year because of the amazing plays that were made there too. So I'm with you. They're both awesome. Couple guys just to get to as we get set for Maryland on Saturday. Talk to me a little bit. You already talked about Cliff and Ron. Jalen Miller's development, because I watch him, and Austin notes the way he defends and the energy he brings when you throw him in a game. And also what you've seen of Dean Reber of late. He's gotten a lot more run of late, and he's given you a spark. Had that dunk you inserted in the game the other night at Penn State, and with authority right away. Just a little bit about Jalen and Dean.
Well, I tell you, you know, two workers, and they're getting better too, which is what I always like. But they bring energy, you know, and that's a huge trait, especially when you have guys coming off the bench. And Mawat Mag has been a huge energy guy too. Unfortunately, we're still, you know, trying to get him back into the fold. You know, he hasn't really been able to get into a groove. But Jalen Miller's really become a really good defender in a short period of time and can defend multiple positions. You know, has given us really, really valuable minutes. And, you know, Cliff has been playing really good basketball, so there's not a lot of time at that five spot. But Dean has been able to come in and really continue development. You know, you see some of the things that he's doing now. I mean, he was spectacular against Nebraska, and that's what we see. We see a guy who can step out and shoot threes. We see a guy who can dunk on people. We see a guy who can really run the floor. And a guy who could pass the ball too, you know, so you see signs of it. And as these kids keep figuring it out, it's a process. It's a learning process. I know nobody thinks that they come from high school and boom, nah, this is the best league in the country with some of the best coaches. There's a process to getting them on the floor. Those guys have done a really good job of learning from film and taking their, you know, taking their lessons that they learned in practice and start really adding some quality minutes to us off the bench. So, you know, real pleased. And they're good defenders, both of them. And that's what we need. We need some good defenders off the bench.
30 seconds left, Pikel podcast. Last one for you, because you mentioned Mawat, and hopefully he's back soon. But just explain exactly what the guys have to make up for not having him on the court.
Yeah, I mean, he's our leading per minute offensive rebounder. So he gives us like second chance opportunities. He's a high energy guy. Like, so every time you put him in the game, he's, you know, and so there are some games where you're going, we got a low energy. We got to get some guy, you know, let's throw him in there and, you know, put him in a position to get up and down the court and give us that kind of energy. And he's a good defender. So you lose a guy who can rebound, you lose a guy who can really defend. And when he was getting into his role and started scoring for us too. So now he's had a huge break with COVID and then, you know, he knocks out two of his teeth. Yep. We're still going through some of that. So it's been a journey for me. I really feel bad. He's a great kid and just hasn't been able to have any rhythm to the season, you know, and just when he starts, you know, getting some minutes, you know, he has like another setback, but I love the way, you know, Oscar and Jaden Jones just keeps working. He's going to have his time again. You know, these are young guys that haven't played a lot of minutes, but when we call on them, they respond and they do a good job. And
all right, Coach, thanks for your time. We will do it again in a couple of minutes. Good luck on Saturday against Maryland. Of course, Iowa next Wednesday, and we will talk to you along the way.
Jerry, thanks so much. I appreciate Rutgers Nation listening.